Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen. I'm a cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And hello, I'm Alistair Satchell. I'm a film and theatre maker based on the island of Mull.
And Alistair, what the hell's the point of this podcast?
It's a way of sharing stories and bizarre findings from people who work in cinemas, theatres, public events, the kind of where the kind of interface between public and art and performance and cinema is. It's avant-garde now. It's that interface. Like, what happens when people kind of are in public spaces and don't talk about and what's left behind?
Indeed. It's the behind-the-scenes look of the amusing, usually gross things that happen when you mix a professional setting with the general public. So I've worked in cinemas and theatres for quite a while, so I've got a few stories. Alistair, you have worked on the other side of the curtains.
Yes, been an actor, writer, director, and work in making films. So yeah, seeing people, I've been around since the culture of people filming things when you're on stage started. I remember being on stage in a community hall in the northwest of Scotland, a remote community in the northwest of Scotland one time, and giving our hearts to this dreadful piece of work that we had to defend on stage. And there was a teenager sitting in the front, sort of dribbling with a mobile phone, filming this awful, awful show. And like, that's all we could see was this teenager just staring at their phone at us. And we spoke to them afterwards and said, What on earth were you doing? Why were you filming on your phone? And they went, oh, it's for my mum. She couldn't make it tonight. It's like, that's so lovely and kind, but all of our attention is just focused on, what on earth are you doing and why?
I'm now obsessed that this footage still exists somewhere.
I really, really hope not. Ken Loch Bervey, hold your wish.
So there's a few bits and pieces, elements to this podcast. We've got, first, we're going to be doing some frequently asked questions. So things that people want to know about cinemas and why they run in certain ways, because I get a lot of them every day. Then we're going to be talking about a few gross things that have happened to us. No, it's not always gross. I keep saying the word gross. It doesn't have to be gross. A few things that have happened to us in the past.
Fluids.
And then hopefully moving on to people writing in and telling us they're not gross, but stories. Well, gross. Let's face it, this is going to get scatological pretty quick.
This week's top poo story comes from some Cheltenham. So do send us in your stories and anything you want to share with us that you think that might be of interest to this, what we're talking about, Down the Back of the Seats.
Indeed, down the back of the seats at gmail.com for emails, and we're on the various social medias at Down the Back of the Seats. Shall we start with our frequently asked question?
Yes, Liz. What is the first frequently asked question?
Well, the frequently asked question that I get every day, and I thought I might give a very brief explanation, is why isn't the film I want to watch on at the time I want to watch it?
So tell me, why is the film I want to watch not on at the time I want to watch it then? Tell me why.
And in fact, I've got to illustrate this. I've been trawling the Facebook pages of various cinemas. So I'm just going to read you a little selection of why isn't the film I want to watch on at the time I want to watch it related content. This is posted to the View website, to the View Facebook page, sorry. And this is someone called Louise. I have visited Fulham Broadway and Islington. You really are sick, aren't you? Scheduling weathering for you at 7:30 on a Wednesday. At Islington, you were boycotted.
What?
And then the same person, a month later. I forgot to look at your Islington details yesterday. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. You are disgusting. Screening Elvis at 7 o'clock in Islington.
What? That's also random.
The thing that I'm enjoying the most about it is that 7 o'clock, that's a lovely time. That seems like a perfectly reasonable time to...
You could have an early dinner, you could have a late dinner. It works quite nicely.
And then a couple of months later, I don't appreciate a 2:05 scheduling of Fisherman's Friends, one and all, at Shepherd's Bush.
Well, who does? Who does? Frankly.
She also doesn't appreciate a 2:20 scheduling of Fisherman's Friends at Finchley Road.
Oh, so, well, I can understand that. Leicester Square would be fine, but not Finchley Road, yeah.
Yeah. So very briefly, why isn't the film I want to watch on at the time I want to watch it? It's because when we book a film, the distributor of that film says that they are happy to provide it, but they would like a certain number of screenings a day, a certain number of days a week. So, for example, what have we got coming up? Fast X, I'm programming today. And they've said, yep, you can have the film, but you need to screen it all shows, which means at any given time, Fast X has to be on, which is why you see films dominating the schedules and see other films on at sort of various little times in the jigsaw around about. And if we say, no, we don't want to do that, we only want to screen it on at 2:20 in Shepherd's Bush, then they'll say, well, you can't have the film. And that's completely fair enough, because they want to look after their film. They want to know that you're going to be giving it the best chance possible. So you do the little jigsaw and then you put it all together, and then sometimes the films aren't on when you want to see the films. And sometimes they are.
It's as simple as that. Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And obviously, as the weeks go on, then you have to reduce the sessions of that film in order to fit other films in.
I have a friend in London who works in film, and he has a maxim, which is, I will never watch a film that's advertised on the side of a bus.
Oh, yes.
Which is quite a statement, really, isn't it?
I can understand it, but I know what he means.
It's
the same sort of film where there's somebody leaning against somebody else on the poster.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Looking at the old leaning and looking sort of askance.
Or an older lady wearing lavender, or ethnic costume that isn't their own.
Yes.
Those are kind of things. Yeah,
that's a relatively new genre. I'm enjoying the sort of old lady wearing lavender genre at the moment. Yeah. They're very lucrative, I have to say.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. We mentioned Fisherman's Friends there. Like, oh my God, that's not a movie I ever want to see. But I imagine it's done brilliantly for the box office of The Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love a 90-minute film with either, it's got to have either Dench, Smith, Mirren.
Charles Dance?
Dance, I'll take it a push. Yeah, any of the big three. Dench,
Bill Nye.
Mirren. Nye, yeah. Nye being sort of quirky and
art house on occasion.
I'll just about take an art house Nye. Those are the films of our time. Or people
the economies
singing.
Of cinema.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I'd like to talk about body parts.
Sorry, I just had a mouthful of tea. So today, is it the back of the knee we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about down the back of the pants.
Oh, no.
No, we're not. I think this is going to be a rich seam for people.
Well sewn, but yet slightly threadbare seam.
Yeah. I put a call out to sort of fellow cinema people, and a thing that came up from, we need to make an editorial decision here, Al. Are we going to name people? Are we going to name cinemas?
I think we're going to name them all. Let's all name them as one place. Okay. This is from, and let's state that, you know, this is from a cinema in, let's just say, rural Worcestershire, or, you know, or rural, you know, the campsies or something, you know, like, okay. Yeah.
Well, let's say rural. This is from a cinema in rural
Huntingdonshire?
Huntingdonshire.
I don't know.
And they were talking about things that they'd found in the screen. And the thing that has come up, and it's come up in the Campbelltown, which I will name, as well as this mystery place, is toenails.
Oh!
There is, and cinema managers will be nodding right now, there is a significant amount of toenail findings in a cinema, or fingernails. I'll admit that it might be fingernails. It is very much a thing to sit in a cinema and chew and pick off fingernails.
Do people bring clippers and things like that?
No, well, do you know what? Next time it happens, I will be investigating. But it's got a very much a bitten quality to it. We're talking. And they had somebody, a specific seat that they would always find toenails and fingernails in. So it's a very much a one-person operation at their cinema. Ours tend to be sort of spread out. And that reminded me of an even worse thing. So, I mean, across the years, obviously, we've had all of the body fluids. I think I've dealt with every single body fluid.
It's such a persistent stain.
Yes, and I do mean every single body fluid. Amniotic, possibly not. That's maybe not where we've got to. But yeah, all of
chime.
The body.
That's what poo is before it comes out your bum. Chime. Yes.
Well, actually, sorry, that reminds me. I'm going off a tangent again. There was a. Do you remember that cinema that stopped doing parent and baby screenings because they were just sick of all the poo, basically. And they were saying that people were leaving nappies, they were changing the babies on the seats and just leaving the nappies everywhere. So they stopped doing it. And they got a bit of flack. I actually can't remember the cinema, which cinema that was, so I won't be able to name it. Anyway, back to this. I think the worst thing that I've ever found was somebody had come to the cinema and they'd had a tattoo approximately 1 week ago. Now, if you've ever had a tattoo, have you got any tattoos?
No.
Okay. So if you've ever had a tattoo, you'll know that about a week after you have your tattoo, your skin starts to sort of peel. You can, and you get bits of, in my case, I've got quite a big green and browny sort of tattoo, and bits of green and brown skin, you can kind of peel them off. Now, but what else are you going to do at the cinema when you're a little bit bored? You're engrossed in the film.
Oh, no.
You're going to start peeling. So we have found a small pile of tattooed skin peelings left very neatly on a arm of one of our seats.
Oh,
and across
God.
The floor as well. It was, you could... I mean, there was no question who the culprit was because you could match up the skin to the tattoo.
You could do like the Viet Cong in Vietnam and repaste all the kind of threaded bits together to make the document.
It was...
oh, God.
I think that's possibly the ickiest. Oh, no. Everything else you're kind of you're used to. But.
Oh, God. Oh no, that's that's. I mean, if you have to vacuum that up, really, don't you? Rather than anything else, that's.
Oh yeah. There's no touching involved.
But what's interesting? So that's maybe a classification of film. Which are the good picky films? You know, Empire of the Sun, something quite dull and boring that looks great. But it's like, oh, for God's sake, you know, are you going to sit and pick your bits during Empire of the Sun or the Grand, you know, the Grand Marigold Hotel, whatever it's called?
Yeah. I mean,
which films? So. Surely that's a way of grading films on how good and compelling they are.
Yeah.
This one is worth 16 scrapings.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think probably, depends. Nervous tension if the viewer's going to go, just peeling off like limbs and stuff and leaving them there.
But then you don't want a big fright because you don't want any jerky movements when you're...
The Blair Witch, it's just someone's shed entirely. There's just a cast of skin. Where there should have been a human, there's now just a coil of skin.
It's like a snake.
Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing The Blair Witch in the cinema with an old girlfriend at the time, and it was really interesting because the two of us were sitting there. Neither of us were really taken with it at all. It was just like, oh, fine. It was a really nice idea and really enjoyed the techniques behind it. I thought it was really great. But I remember the bit, which was the scary bit, you know, the last moments of the film when they're in that, the place in the dark with the torch facing the I think it's an abandoned house or something like that. It was really interesting because the whole temperature in the cinema went thump. it literally fell with a thump. Boom, like that. And we could feel it really, really cold. And remember, we talked about it afterwards. And I thought that was really interesting that this communal psychology thing had been in the space and you can actually feel the coldness of fear. And that was really amazing. So there must have been like 150, 200 people in this cinema. It was the cameo in Edinburgh. And everyone experiencing fear at the same moment, it just changed everything. So I wonder if that's a thing as well, that, you know, if you have a temperature gauge in cinema, as you can see, you know, what be warned, at 92 minutes in, it's going to be scary.
Or the aircon kicked in at exactly that moment. And
that's possible. That is possible. But I prefer to think of the human psychological. Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk about ghosts, but not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about...
Because I've seen the one in Campbelltown Picture House.
You've seen the Campbelltown Picture House ghost?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, well, no, I was sitting in one of the back seats and there was movement in the dark where there was nothing there to my right by the first fire exit. Just something moving around. I don't know what it was, but it was something in the dark moving around, and it wasn't, when I looked closer, it wasn't there. It was just at the periphery and the edge of my eyes.
It was just the wind.
It was just my wind.
It's just your wind. The staff are all convinced that there's ghosts around. Obviously, they don't exist, so I don't think there are ghosts.
How do you prove them with the laws of entropy? They just can't, you know, ghosts can't exist.
No.
Yeah. But yet.
Yeah. But yet. Well, I'll tell you something. I don't look up at the projector porthole. I won't look up at that at night if I'm on my own.
Really?
Even though I 100% do not think that ghosts exist, and therefore Campbelltown Picture House is not haunted.
Ellen Mainwood, child of physicists.
Yeah. But I won't look up at the porthole, because there'll definitely be a face in there.
Oh, there's bound to be.
It's been around for 110 years, so... I would love for people to tell me any amusing lost property that they've got, because I've got a few sort of bits and pieces. So we found a golf club. It's all things that, so the most interesting
golf club.
Yes, I know. It was a sort of antique golf club. The most interesting things to me are the ones that make you think, why did they bring that to the cinema? It's not necessarily weird in itself, but why is it here?
They're not spaces that you associate with transit. Not spaces that you go, you know, you can maybe stop off at the cinema if you've got a big long day and you're trying to do things. But generally speaking, it's a destination in its own that you're going to.
Pantomime Camel.
Genuinely.
Yeah, it was great. We loved it.
Did you keep it?
They came back for it, unfortunately. But not obviously not before we'd all had a go in it and, you know, gone around the cinema. This wasn't a Campbelltown, this was a previous cinema. And then I've got an email from someone about some lost property.
Oh, yes.
Would you like me to read it?
Okay.
It's not disgusting, actually.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, no fleeds.
So this is from Anonymous.
Ah, yes, Anonymous.
Anonymous. So this happened in New Zealand a long time ago. I was the manager on duty. It was a relatively quiet Sunday afternoon. A woman who had been sitting at one of the tables in the foyer came over with a small metal box. Quite fancy, they say. She said she'd found it where she was sitting. I took it, thanked her, and said I'd keep it in case someone returned for it. Fine. Fairly safe so far.
Yeah.
She went to walk away, but stopped and returned and said, a little nervously, I think you should look inside. So we've got intrigue.
You should sniff what's inside the box.
Yes. I think you should look inside the box. I opened it up and was presented with an absolute shit ton of crystal meth.
Oh my God. Oh dear. Oh dear. The rest of the day was spent.
They clarify, to be fair, I had to ask one of the edgier staff members what it was. So there, this person is distancing themselves with knowing what was in there. At this point, we all panicked. I called the police, who were more... I called the police, who were more relaxed about the situation than I thought they really ought to be.
Wow.
They said, just drop it into the police station whenever I was next passing. No rush.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is New Zealand, remember, so...
Wow.
They're very, just very relaxed down there.
Wow.
So they said to drop it into the police station whenever they were next passing. No rush. Well, we're skipping a bit now, but I think they must have gone straight there. So they've said, having dropped it in, I returned to the cinema and carried on with my day. About an hour later, a couple came in and went straight to the area of the foyer where the box had been found, clearly looking for it. Eventually, they came over and asked if we'd found anything there. No, I said. But why don't you give me your name, address and phone number? And if we find anything, we'll get in contact with you. They duly wrote down all their details, which we passed on to the police.
Hello, we found something belonging to you.
To be honest, I did feel bad about being a grass, but they were pretty stupid.
Yes, so, yes.
So they've come in looking for their stash of
crystal meth. Nazi crank.
And on losing it, given their full address, phone number and names.
I look forward to hearing what more people have found and the bizarreness of things. And if there's any consequences from them as well, like being a but did they give you the address from a taxi driver? For, you know, in taxi driver, when he's asked for his address, he gives, and that's the standard address that people give if they want to kind of not give their address. Oh, yeah, it's this address.
I would have respected that. Shall we wind down?
Certainly. I think that's a very fine place to wind down. Excellent.
Please email in with anything that you think we would find amusing. downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com, or we're on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at downthebackoftheseats.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time and thanks for listening and hopefully see you again very soon with more tales for Down the Back of the Seats. Thank you.